maybe the most basic of questions. What is the goal of life? How do I record this? Here we go. What is the goal of life? And it's a pretty basic question. And if you don't have a goal, you don't have an ice cube's chance in hell of reaching that goal. All right, can you imagine playing soccer or playing hockey without a goal? Playing football without a goal? You could never score. And that's why the first thing that you have to do in life is to define what is your goal. Now, before we get into, we're not going to do too many sources today because we couldn't print them. We'll do a little screen sharing. But I had this discussion when I was 15. This was in Camp Mosheva in Indian Orchard, where we must have had a very successful madrich, because we were discussing at 2 o'clock in the morning, my friend Ari and I, I'm also named Ari, it was a popular name the year that I was born, we were discussing exactly this question: what is the goal of life? And my friend Ari, he suggested that the goal in life is a common for all of mankind, no matter where you are, Jewish or non-Jewish, religious or non-religious, male or female, in North America or South America. What people want is pleasure. Now, different things bring different people pleasure. And in America, they like baseball. And in Europe, they think that baseball is boring. And in England, they think that cricket brings pleasure. And in America, they think that cricket is boring. But the common denominator is everybody wants pleasure. Now, I disagreed. And again, as a 15-year-old, I thought I was very idealistic. And I said, no. Because it's true that all people want pleasure. But wherever you go in the world, Jew, non-Jew, religious, non-religious, North America, South America, Africa, everybody has some kind of ideal for which they are willing to forego all of their pleasure. Yes, everybody wants pleasure, but ideals are higher than pleasure. Right? In communist Russia, people are willing to die for the ideal of communism. In America, many soldiers gave their lives in the name of democracy. In here in Medinat Yisrael, 26,000 soldiers over the wars have given their lives for the sake of Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Medinat Yisrael. The common denominator, also with every mother who runs into a fire to risk her life to save her child, she believes that love is higher than pleasure, because she is willing to forego all of the pleasure, maybe even die, for the sake of a higher ideal. Anyway, we were arguing back and forth, and it turns out that this was a old machloket back in ancient Greece. Is life about pleasure, or is life about ideals? And what I want to do with you is I want to see with you a source in Mesilat Yesharim, which hopefully you could see it. There you go. Can you see the source? Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato in Mesilat Yesharim writes as follows: Bibiur klal chovata adam ba'olamo. What is man's obligation in life, in his world? Well, what are we here for? Yesod hachasidut v'shovesh ha'avoda, the basis of goodness and the root of serving God, hatmima, in the most complete way possible, hu sheyitbarer, you know what? Let me ask you, has anybody thought of what is the goal of life? Can somebody come up with a definition of what is the goal of life? Yeah, Tumima? Again, speak up, please. Okay, great. So that's sort of, that's an embellishment, that's an addition, but it continues in the same direction of those who say that ideals, something that brings something that's meaningful for you. Okay, good. Any other suggestions? What is the goal of life? It's a pretty big question. Pretty basic question. Okay. Let's go on and see what the Ramchal has to say. I realize, by the way, that it's difficult to speak this way, but don't be embarrassed if you have something to say. They say in the Israeli army, there's a saying, "Zeh ma sheyesh v'im zeh ninatzeach." This is the situation, and with this, we will be victorious. Okay, so getting back to the Ramchal, he writes as follows. Again, here. Source number one. Shidbarer v'itamet etzel ha'adam ma chovato ba'olamo. It has to be clear, it has to be clarified, it has to be true to a person, what is his obligation in his world. Ulemat tzarech shiyasim ma'bato m'gamato b'chol asher u'amel kol yemei chayav. And to what should he be looking for in all of the actions which we do? In other words, the Ramchal is telling us something very interesting. Anybody know the garden hose theory? Right? If you have a yard and you have to water the plants, you want to water the plants, and the garden hose, you stretch it out all the way till the end of the garden, and it's just a little short. How can you spritz the water a little further? You just put your hand over the end of the hose and you lessen the opening, and that way the stream streams further and stronger. In other words, if a person is focused on a particular goal, he's going to get further, and that way you can score. And it's a good idea to have a goal which is all-inclusive, because very often in life we're torn between different goals or different roles. For example, even if I take what Tamima said, on the one hand, you want to have a family, so you want to be a good wife, and you have responsibility to your children. And when your parents get older, you have responsibility to your parents. And you have a responsibility to yourself. And you have a responsibility to your job, to your community, to Am Yisrael. And very often, we feel that we're being pulled in different directions. And what the Ramchal is telling us, is if we can include all of those drives, all of those ideals under one umbrella, we can focus and accomplish that much more. Again, like the garden hose, spritz that much farther and stronger. And what is that goal, according to the Ramchal? Here's the punchline. Vihine. Again, let's get into it. Again, source number one. Second paragraph of source number one. Vihine masho runu chachamim zal hu she'adam lo nivra ela lit'aneg al Hashem v'le'enot miziv shchinato. Man was created to have pleasure with God. In other words, both my friend Ari and I were correct. The role of life, the goal of life, is to have pleasure. But the question is, what kind of pleasure? And what Judaism claims is that the idealistic pleasure is the highest level of pleasure. And if you want to analyze it, it's not that difficult, because if you look for a definition, okay, the goal of life is I want pleasure. Okay? Now, first thing you got to do on any topic is define your goals. You have to define, you know what? The Rav Noach Weinberg of Yeshivat Esh HaTorah, he tells the story that he was in the old city in Yerushalayim, and he sees a student, a tourist, a young guy with a big backpack, long hair, hippie, and he's looking around as if he's looking for something. So Rav Noach Weinberg goes up to him and says to him, excuse me, can I help you? Are you looking for something? And the hippie says, yeah, I'm looking for truth. I'm looking for holiness. So Rav Weinberg says, well, you came to the right place because you came to the holy city and the holy land. And the hippie says to him, he says, listen, I've been in the holy land now for 2 weeks. And I went scuba diving in Eilat, and I went up to the Golan Heights, and I went up to the Temple Mount. And I have to tell you, I've been pretty disappointed because I don't feel any holiness. Everybody thinks this is the Holy Land. I don't feel any holiness. So Rav Noach Weinberg says to him, tell me if you've been around in the north and the south. Tell me, how many phalloustics have you seen? So like some of you are looking, what is a phalloustic? This guy asks him, what is a phalloustic? And Rav Noach Weinberg says to him, I didn't ask you what it is. I asked you, how many phalloustics have you seen? To which the hippie answered, how can I tell you how many phalloustics I saw if I don't know what a phalloustic is? To which Rav Noach Weinberg obviously answered, do you know what Kedusha is? You say you're looking for holiness. Do you know what holiness is? Do you have a definition? Right? A lot of people think holiness is a feeling. I don't feel holiness. Who says holiness is a feeling? Right? The land of Israel is holy. I think a lot of people have come to Israel, or even they go up to the Kotel, they don't feel holiness. Maybe holiness is not a feeling. Maybe it is something more essential. In other words, if you don't have a definition for holiness, you don't have an ice cube's chance in hell of finding it. And the same thing with everything. And that's why, if I want pleasure, I have to define two things. First of all, who am I? And second of all, what is pleasure? Okay? Now, question. Who am I? Want to define who am I? Now, here the problem is that there's a common misconception. I don't know if you noticed, when I, or many people, say the word I, they point to themselves. They point to their body. And that's not really accurate, because if I am my body, and I lost my hair, does that mean I am less me? Right? Or if I am my body and I gain weight, thank God you can't see that I have gained weight. If I am my body and I gain weight, does that mean I am more me? Or I have two brothers who donated kidneys. My oldest brother, my father, Zichrona Livracha, he had diabetes and he had kidney problems. He was on dialysis. And we all wanted to help my father. And it turned out that my older brother was the most compatible genetically with my father. And he was chosen. And he gave my father a kidney. Gave him 15 more years of life. Can you imagine what a zchut that is? And So after my brother gave my father a kidney, there were a lot of jokes in the family. One time at a Hanukkah party, my older brother Morty, who gave him the kidney, he didn't show up. So my mother said, hey, when is Morty coming? And I answered, well, his kidney is already here, because his kidney is in my father. But afterwards, my other brother gave a kidney just altruistically. He saw what a great mitzvah it is to give life, and to a total stranger, he also gave a kidney. I also wanted to, but I have diabetes, so I can't give a kidney. But why do I mention this? Because if I am my kidneys, so does that mean that my brother is my father, or my father is my brother? Obviously not. So if I am not my body, then the only other possibility is I am my soul. I am my neshama. And now we have to understand, what is a neshama? Has anybody ever learned what is a neshama? The Torah tells us that a neshama is a spark of God. When Hashem gave Adam HaRishon his neshama, it says, Vayipach be'apav nishmat chayim. God blew into Adam his neshama. Now it says in the Zohar, it says, Kol denafach midilei nafach. When you blow into a balloon, you are taking air from your lungs and blowing it into the balloon. The balloon now has the air from my lungs. So when God breathed into Adam his neshama, Hashem is breathing a part of himself into man. And this is what's called chelek eloka mima'al. The neshama is called a spark of God. By the way, maybe just to clarify this, I'm going to tell you something now that's very super important. Rabbi Nachman Mibreslev says that if you want to meet God, go out to the forest. I'll say it again, and I'll ask if somebody understood that. If you want to meet God, you will find him in the forest. Go out to the forest and you will find God. What is Rabbi Nachman Mibreslev saying? Why will we find God in the forest? Oh, great. Okay, that's Jenny. Jenny says, answers what the Rambam would say. The Rambam in Ilchot Yesodei HaTorah, in chapter 2, he writes that the best way of getting Avat Hashem and Yirat Hashem, of loving and fearing God, is by going out to nature. But that's not what Rabbi Nachman Mibreslev is saying. That's the Rambam. That's great. Rabbi Nachman Mibreslev says, has anybody heard of hitbodedut? Lihitboded, Chassidei Breslev are into meditating. And the idea of going out to the forest, why will I find God in the forest? It's not what there is in the forest, but it's what there isn't. In the forest, there is no distractions. There's no iPhone. There are no people. In the forest, I get in touch with myself. Excuse me for pointing to my body. I get in touch with my soul. And my soul is a spark of God. So if I want to get in touch with God, I have to get in touch with myself, because the real me is not my body. The real me is my soul. And as my soul is a spark of God, which means that if I want to meet God, I have to get in touch with my neshama. And again, that's what Rabbi Nachman Mibreslev says. When you go out to the forest, there are no distractions. Now, this is what's called in Chassidut Shabbat, Bechinat Shabbat. What is Shabbat about? Shabbat is getting away from distractions. Shabbat is no iPhone, no car, no work, no money. It's like being in the forest. You are in touch with your soul. You're in touch with God, with your godliness. By the way, I'll tell you something even greater. Chevra, there are some things that you hear once and you say, wow, I will never forget that. And this is one of those things. It's in Chassidut we say that heaven and hell is the exact same place. And if you think about it, it has to be that way. Because in a world of neshamot, where there's nothing physical, there is no body, there is no place. So if in the world to come there is no place, that means that heaven and hell is really the same place. There is no place. It's all the same. If so, what is the difference between heaven and hell? What is the difference between somebody who does good and somebody who chooses bad? It's very simple. For somebody who enjoys Shabbat, for somebody who has pleasure learning Torah, going to Sheorim, davening, spending time with your family, singing, if you enjoy Shabbat, then the world to come is Gan Eden. It's heaven. I don't expect anybody at this stage, especially while you're in quarantine, to enjoy and realize the greatness and the fun of spending a year in yeshiva, spending a year in midrasha. But believe me, by the end of the year, I mean, there are 30 girls who are here for Shana Bet. And there are many others who would want to do, but their parents don't let them. In other words, by the end of the year, you will realize the great pleasure in learning Torah. And that, by the way, is the reason you probably know that on Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to learn Torah because it's pleasure. And you're not supposed to do pleasureful things on Tisha B'Av. By the end of the year in the Midrashah, I have no doubt, almost 100% of you will realize the fun and the pleasure of spending a year in yeshiva. Now, when you go to Olam Haba, it's like being in yeshiva. Because you don't have to work for a living. You don't have to go to sleep. It's full, non-stop pleasure. On the other hand, if somebody's definition of fun, of pleasure, is their iPhone, it is their computer, it's their money, it's their car, it's their clothing, or their gold. If that's a person's definition of fun, and you get up to heaven, and there's no reception for your cell phone, and there's no money, it's as boring as hell. You catch that? For some people, the world to come is as boring as hell. And it all depends on what is your definition of pleasure. Because somebody whose definition of pleasure is physical pleasure or computer, and you get to a place where there's no reception, it's not going to be fun. And they are not going to be happy campers. And by the way, you can check it out. How do you know if, for me, is the world to come going to be heaven or hell? Just check it out. If you enjoy Shabbat, then it's going to be heaven. Because Shabbat is called Me'en Olam Haba. Shabbat is a taste of the world to come. So if you enjoy the concept of spirituality, of davening, of singing, of learning Torah, of being with the family, that is what heaven is about. Getting back to Rabbi Nachman Mibreslev, again, what is he saying? If you want to come in contact, if you want to meet God, go out to the forest and get in touch with your neshama. Because your neshama, that's what goes with you to the world to come. Your body stays here, buried. Who is the real me? The real me is my neshama. What is a neshama? It is a spark of God. I'll add on another important point. Each and every one of you, I don't know if you can all see each other, each and every one of you has a unique spark of God that only you have. That is why we talk about Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, right? Why do we in davening, we should just say Elokei Avot Elokeinu, our God, and Elokei Avotenu, the God of our forefathers. Why do we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? It's all the same God. It's not a trinity. But now you understand? Because the God of Avraham, Elokei Avraham, is a little different from Elokei Yitzchak, who's a little different from Elokei Yaakov. because Avraham's soul, Avraham's spark of God, stressed chesed. Yitzchak's spark of God stressed gevura. Yaakov's spark of God is unique. So too, there is Elohei Dasi, who's a little different from Elohei Ashley, who's a little different from Elohei Jenny. Because each and every one of you has a unique connection with God and a unique spark of God. And if so, to summarize what we've seen now, if the goal of life is I want pleasure, and I defined who am I, again, don't look at my hands, I am not my body, I am my soul. And my soul is godly, which means that if I want pleasure and I am godly, I should be investing as much time and effort as I can into being godly, because that's who I am. And now we're left with defining the second term, pleasure. What is pleasure? Everybody knows that there are different grades, there are different levels. Right? When you go and buy a plane ticket, there's first class, business class, economy class. Same thing when you buy eggs. There's grade A, grade B, grade C. With everything in life, there are different levels. And the same thing with pleasure. There's first class pleasure, second class pleasure, and third class pleasure. Now, when we talk about pleasure, let's give an example to help us analyze it. When my doctor tells me that I'm eating too much pizza and I should lose weight, and I have to decide between two pleasures. One type of pleasure is I love pizza. The other type of pleasure is I would like to be healthy. I would like to live long. If so, what is the difference between these two types of pleasure? Can somebody analyze what is the difference between these two types of pleasure? Pizza and long health. Sorry, again?
One's long-term pleasure and one's short-term.
Oh, Perry says fantastically that pizza is short-term pleasure. Health, long life, is long-term pleasure. Now, we all know that children always prefer short-term pleasure, right? I want all the candies, and I want them now. They don't know about diabetes. As they get older, for those who are in the last class, remember we spoke about how mankind is constantly maturing and evolving? As a child gets older, he learns about sugar, he learns about diabetes, he learns about cavities, he doesn't want cavities in his teeth, and he learns about long-term pleasure. Short-term pleasure is more immature, long-term pleasure is more mature. Short-term pleasure is more for the body, and it's here and now, and excuse me, another 2 hours, it's in the toilets, in the sewage system. When your friend comes to you and says, I know you got a big test tomorrow, you have a big exam, but I got 2 tickets to a great show. You want to come? And you have to choose between 2 hours of pleasure in seeing a great show, and maybe another hour afterwards, 3 hours of pleasure, or getting a good mark on your exam, graduating, getting a good job, making a good salary. It's all the same. It's all the same between short-term pleasure or long-term pleasure. It's all the same decision. And accordingly, when I go for smoking is short-term pleasure, pizza is short-term pleasure, that is third-class pleasure. Why is it third-class? Because, again, it's immature, it's short-term, it's shallow. On the other hand, a higher level of pleasure is second class pleasure. Second class is long term. That is having goals. That is finishing a degree, getting a job, making a salary, having a family. These are long term goals, and that's a higher level of pleasure. Rav Kook talks about the difference between your inner desire and your outer desire. Our external desire wants pizza. We just want to sleep all day. We just want to waste our time on the internet. On the other hand, our higher desire, our inner desire, that is a higher level of pleasure. So if short-term pleasure is third-class pleasure, second-class pleasure is long-term pleasure. What would be first-class pleasure? What's even longer than long-term? Eternal. Eternal pleasure, that is first-class pleasure. And that is why when people have ideals, when a mother runs into a burning building to save their child, she is saying, yeah, I want pleasure, but I want first-class pleasure. Love, children, they are our eternity. Love is an eternal pleasure. That's first-class pleasure. And I am willing to even give my life for the state of Israel, because that's a first-class pleasure. Even if it means I am foregoing all of my second or third-class pleasure. And if so, we now understand that if the goal of life is I want pleasure, and I defined who am I am my neshama. That is my godly self. And if I want pleasure, I have to define pleasure. We said, yeah, there are three classes. Short-term pleasure, long-term pleasure, and my ideals are eternal pleasure. Because that is for eternity. And if so, when you come for a year in Midrasha, it makes sense to get the most out of the year. To get in touch with, what is my letter in the Torah? Who is Elohei Tamima? Who is Elohei Shira? Who is Elohei Shana? Who is Elohei Avraham? Who is Elohei Yitzchak? Who is and what is my spark of God? To get in touch with myself, and that way I'll enjoy Shabbat, because Shabbat is a day where I'm in touch with myself without distractions. That way I'll also enjoy Olam Haba, because in the world to come, it's a life without distractions. It's just ideals, eternal ideals. Accordingly, we, Baruch Hashem, have learned a lot of basic concepts in Emunah, and hopefully over the year, we will continue answering different questions, just like what is the goal of life? We have to elaborate. What are those eternal ideas? How can I and each and every one of us find my letter in the Torah, find my spark of God? Bezrat Hashem, we will do that face to face next time. Any questions? No? Okay. I hope you appreciate it. I hope you enjoy this class. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll see you next week. Ba'atzlacha.
Thank you.
My pleasure.